Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We have pulled a really fascinating stack of research for you today,
We have.
and we are going straight to the farm. Specifically, we're focusing on tropical cattle production. If you're involved in agriculture, or even if you just follow global food economics, you know that livestock feed is, it's the great cost killer.
It's everything.
In these intensive cattle fattening systems, traditional ingredients like wheat bran, we'll call it WB, they're not just expensive, they are a massive source of instability.
Oh, absolutely. We're talking about something that can eat up, what, 60, maybe even 70% of a farm's entire operating budget.
In places like Nigeria, yeah, that is a razor-thin margin. One price spike can completely bankrupt an operation.
It's critical, which is why we're diving into this local Nigerian study that found a potential silver bullet. Doiled rice bran, or DORB.
Right.
This is a common byproduct from the huge rice milling industry there, and right now it's severely underutilized. It's abundant, and crucially, it's cheap.
So the mission for us today is to find the optimization point. If we swap out the expensive WB for this cheap local DORB, where is that sweet spot?
Exactly.
The research we've analyzed, which focused on these hardy Sokoto Gudali young bulls, it really aims to pinpoint the exact percentage that maximizes not just growth and health, but the financial returns for the farmer.
You have to see if you can maintain productivity while slashing those costs.
Okay, let's unpack this. I think we should start with why farmers are so desperate for a WB replacement in the first place.
Good place to start.
The market for wheat bran is just brutal. I mean, it has a decent nutritional profile, sure, but its demand is just skyrocketing across multiple sectors.
It really is. You've got poultry, swine, even the human food chain using it for baking.
That competition drives prices into just chaotic volatility. It makes long-term planning basically impossible for these cattle farmers.
Meanwhile, you've got DORB, which is this massive overlooked waste stream. Nigeria is a major rice producer, and in the northern regions, they generate these colossal volumes of it. It has moderate protein, moderate energy, but it's basically free, or, very cheap compared to WB.
It sounds perfect. So there has to be a catch, right? Why isn't everyone already doing this?
There is. The catch is its inherent instability. This is the central problem you have to solve with rice bran.
Okay.
Even after the oil's been extracted, that's the de-oiling part, some residual oil is always left behind. And that oil brings along a really powerful enemy, endogenous enzymes.
Like lipases and whatever.
Lipoxygenases, yeah.
Okay, that is a technical mouthful. What do those enzymes actually do?
Well, think of them as tiny, rapid-fire breakdown artists. They trigger two things during storage: rapid oxidation and what's called hydrolytic rancidity.
So, like when cooking oil goes bad on the shelf, that smell.
Exactly that sour, metallic, stale
So,
smell.
if you're a bull, the feed just tastes
It
awful.
tastes awful. It reduces palatability, which means the animals eat less, but it's worse than that. Rancidity actively reduces the energy content of the feed, and it degrades sensitive micronutrients like vitamins. It's like buying expensive ingredients and watching them spoil in the bag.
Before the animal even gets to them.
Right. That risk is why farmers have historically been so cautious.
Okay, so before we get into how they manage that risk, let's talk about the animals themselves. Sokoto Gudali bulls.
Yes, the test subjects. These are the indigenous large-framed Bos indicus cattle, your classic zebu type you see across the
I mean,
tropics.
they're ideal for this, I gather.
They're perfect. They're known for their ability to efficiently use fibrous, lower quality diets. It's a key biological advantage.
And economically.
Even more important, they make up about a third, 33.3% of the entire 22.3 million cattle in Nigeria. So if this works for them, the impact on the national beef supply and farmer profit is massive, and it's immediate.
That really puts a stake in the ground. So how did the team actually set up the feeding trial?
Okay, so they took 25 young bulls, averaging about 210 kilos, and they split them into five groups for a 70-day trial. Each group got a concentrate diet, where the wheat bran, the WB, was systematically replaced by DORB at different levels. 0%, 25, 50, 75, and 100%.
And here is a crucial detail in the design, right? The concentrate was fed at a fixed rate.
Yes, 2% of their body weight. But, and this is key, they were also given Digitarius smutsii hay ad libitum.
Meaning they could eat as much of the hay as they wanted.
As much as they wanted. That combination is what makes this work. The fixed concentrate is the baseline, but the free choice hay lets us see how the different DORB mixes affected the animal's actual appetite.
So you can see if the rancidity at high levels made them eat less overall, or if a good mix made them eat more.
Precisely. And that's exactly what the growth data showed us.
Which brings us to the first really big discovery. The bulls all started at the same weight, but their growth trajectories just, they diverged immediately. The DORB level had a huge influence.
The performance gap was startling. The moderate substitution groups were the clear champions, and specifically the 50% DORB group.
Yeah.
They hit the highest final weight, 278.7 kilograms, and achieved a phenomenal average daily gain, or ADG, of 984 grams per day.
Wow, so that's just shy of a full kilogram of gain every single day.
Every 24 hours.
And how does that compare to the control, the ones with no DORB?
The control group only managed 816 grams a day, and the 100% DORB group,
a full replacement,
was the lowest performer at only 786 grams. So that 50% group was gaining weight almost 25% faster. For a farmer, that translates directly into less time to market.
Which saves weeks of feeding costs.
Exactly. And this is where that ad libitum hay intake becomes so important. Even though they all got the same amount of concentrate, the bulls on the 25% and 50% DORB diets ate significantly more hay.
Ah, so their overall appetite increased.
Dramatically. The 50% group peaked with a total dry matter intake of 10.68 kilograms a day. The superior dietary balance just must have improved the palatability and digestion, encouraging them to eat more.
Okay, so here's where it gets really interesting. Let's talk feed efficiency. The feed conversion ratio, FCR.
The money metric.
This is the one that really matters for the bottom line. How efficiently that feed is turned into valuable mass.
And again, the 50% DORB diet was the clear winner. It had the most efficient FCR at 10.85.
So to translate that, they only needed 10.85 kilos of feed to produce 1 kilo of weight gain.
Right. Now compare that to the 100% DORB group. Their FCR was the least efficient, way up at 12.7.
So that 100% group is like the bovine equivalent of a gas guzzler. It's just inefficiently burning through feed. A farmer using the 50% mix is saving over 15% on feed costs right there.
There's a massive financial difference over 70 days.
Mm.
And the performance didn't just stall at those higher levels, the 75 and 100%, it plummeted.
So why? What happened?
Well, the sources suggest it was two things. Reduced dietary balance, for one.
Mm.
But critically, higher concentrations of anti-nutritional factors that are just inherent in rice bran.
Things like?
Phytes and silica.
Okay, and what do those do to the bull?
Phytes are notorious for binding up essential minerals, making them unavailable for the animal to absorb. And silica, besides being abrasive, just contributes to low digestibility.
So at 50%, they could handle it, but by 75%, it was just too much.
The drawbacks simply overpowered the benefits. The optimal level stopped dead at 50%.
That makes perfect sense. Okay, we've established the 50% group wins on growth, but let's shift from the outside metrics to the internal engine. How is the body actually using these nutrients?
Right. Time for the metabolic deep dive.
Yeah.
We're looking at nutrient utilization as a marker for a high-efficiency engine.
Mm.
The digestibility numbers showed that the 50% DORB diet supported the most efficient use of dry matter at 69.5% and crude protein at 71.1%. They were just extracting more fuel from the same food.
And what about nitrogen? That's the key for building muscle, right?
The most important metric for a beef animal, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it mirrored the growth data perfectly. The 50% DORB diet had the highest nitrogen intake and, this is the most important part, the highest nitrogen retention.
Retention meaning the body is holding on to it.
Holding on to it and channeling it into building new tissue. They also had the lowest urinary nitrogen losses, which is basically the body just excreting wasted protein.
So if the 100% group grew so poorly, were they actively wasting that protein?
They were certainly using it far less efficiently. It comes down to something we call rumen synchrony.
Rumen synchrony. Okay, break that down for us.
Think of the microbes in the rumen as a tiny protein-making factory. They need fuel carbohydrates and building blocks nitrogen to arrive at the same time.
A balanced delivery schedule.
Exactly. If one arrives too early or too late, the factory stalls and that excess nitrogen gets wasted out in the urine. The 50% mix seems to have delivered those components simultaneously, maximizing the production of microbial protein, which the bull then uses to build muscle.
That is a fascinating insight. Okay, what about the blood profiles, the serum metabolites? Were these bulls just growing faster or were they genuinely healthier?
The biochemical profiles confirm it was metabolic optimization, not just stress-driven growth. The 25% and 50% groups showed elevated serum glucose, total protein, and albumin.
Now, is elevated a cause for concern?
Not at all, and this is important. The researchers confirmed these values stayed safely within the normal physiological reference ranges for cattle.
So higher, but still healthy.
Exactly. For instance, glucose peaked around 89-90 milligrams per deciliter, which is comfortably in that safe 40 to 100 range.
So what does that elevation suggest then?
It reflects an improved energy status and better hepatic function, liver function. The liver is the master processor. Better function there means the whole system is running optimally. And we also saw serum urea was perfectly stable across all groups.
Which confirms what you said earlier about nitrogen.
It's the final piece. They were managing nitrogen efficiently without overloading the liver.
We've covered the biological efficiency, better growth, better metabolism. Mm-hmm. But for a farmer, the ultimate test is market value. What about the carcass quality?
The carcass traits align perfectly with the performance data. The 50% DORB group produced the highest hot carcass weight at 158.2 kilograms. And critically, they also showed a significantly greater ribeye area, measuring 18.2 square centimeters.
And that's a direct measure of muscularity. That's premium value.
That's the premium value. Now, we do need to contextualize that number. For a high-performance European breed, 18.2 would be small.
Right.
But for the Sokoto Gudale Zebu, which is adapted for hardiness, not massive muscle, that increase relative to the control group confirms the 50% diet drove real, measurable improvement in muscle deposition.
So it maximized their natural genetic potential.
It did.
Okay, now for the financial verdict. The bottom line, did all of this synergy actually translate into profit?
It did, spectacularly. And that's what makes this research so actionable. The economic analysis showed a massive advantage for the 50% DORB. It generated the greatest net profit, $144.11 per bull.
$144, and that's over the 70-day trial.
Yeah.
How does that compare to just sticking with the traditional feed?
The control diet with zero DORB only yielded a profit of about $110. And the 100% DORB group, the inefficient one, that only returned about $101.
Wow.
So if a farmer is running 100 bulls in this system, choosing that 50% mix over the standard feed means an extra profit of over $3,400 in just 70 days.
That's transformative for a small tropical operation.
Absolutely.
And what was the key driver of that profitability? Just the cheap input cost.
Is the combination cheap input plus high efficiency. The 50% DORB diet achieved the lowest feed cost per kilogram of gain at just $12.48. The 100% group was closer to $14.
So that difference in cost efficiency is basically the entire profit margin.
For many operations, it's the difference between being profitable and just breaking even.
Yes. And the benefit cost ratio, the ultimate return on investment.
That also peaked at 50%. The BCR was 1.17, confirming that for every dollar you invest in that feed system, you see the highest return.
The synergy is just, it's undeniable.
It is. The 50% level maximized weight gain, feed efficiency, nutrient retention, and financial return. All at once.
So what does this all mean? The core takeaway for you is clear and it's actionable. Day-old rice bran is a highly profitable, locally available alternative to wheat bran. But
success hinges entirely on that strategic inclusion. The research confirms that for tropical cattle like these, that 50% inclusion level is the optimal balance point.
It maximizes the biology and minimizes the financial risk.
Absolutely.
This study really provides that crucial data. It confirms that strategic resource optimization using local byproducts is the fastest, most sustainable way to improve productivity and reduce that crippling economic burden on these livestock systems.
Which leaves us with a thought to consider, one that goes a bit beyond this study's scope. We spent time early on discussing the core pitfall of DORB, its instability, the rancidity. The 50% limit seems to be the point where those anti-nutritional factors start to outweigh the cost savings.
Right.
So given that, how might more advanced DORB stabilization methods like specialized heat treatment that other sources have looked at, how might that impact the maximum safe inclusion level? If you could stabilize it and push that safe ceiling up to 75% or even 100% without the negative effects, how much further could that widen the profit margin for these farmers? That's a fascinating next step.
It's a question for future exploration. We've surfaced from the sources for today. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.